everyone. My name is Kim Asher. Welcome to the first episode on this new channel, Offshore Banter. And this is where I share stories of my time at sea. I've spent about 3,000 days on construction vessels around the world. And these are my stories and the stories of my friends and colleagues over the many years, just to highlight some of the fun and crazy things that happen in offshore life. People I'm going to talk about today are archetypal waffies. It doesn't mean that everybody who's a hobbyist and gets into a yacht or a powerboat is a waffy, but there's a certain type of person that definitely is. And here are some of their stories from Ramsgate all those years ago. So the weather was bad one day, and it was a weekend. It was Saturday, I think. Now, if you didn't know much about offshore weather, the weather looked fantastic. It was a blue sky, a few fluffy clouds, brilliant sun, and light winds, and really a pleasant afternoon, early summer. But a Met Ocean forecast, which is the weather conditions of the sea state, can be very different from the atmospheric forecast that everyone's familiar with, you know, wind speed and temperature and all that stuff. Is it going to rain today? Met Ocean talks about the swell, waves, you know. So you've got HMAX, which is the biggest predicted waves. You've got your significant wave height, which is the standard wave, the typical waves that you're expected to meet that day. And they'll be measured and put into a forecast as, you know, an HMAX of, say, 4 meters, which is about, I don't know, 13 feet, something like that, and maybe a significant of half that. Anyway, not to get too technical about it, but we were working in a very small vessel, and our working tolerance was a significant wave height of 1 meter. So that meant we weren't going out that day. But we had stuff to do, so we stayed in port. But on the boat, we're doing some maintenance, calibrating equipment, cleaning stuff up, tidying things. These little boats can get quite dirty quite quickly unless you stay on top of them, because you've got a lot of people in there doing technical jobs, and they're focused on the work, not so much on the housekeeping. So every chance you get, you tidy things up. So we're there on the boat, and we're going to have quite a fun day. We'll do 3 or 4 hours of housekeeping, and then we'll end the day early. And go off and enjoy the local sights and sounds. So we're working on this small survey vessel. And of course, we have Channel 16 active just to monitor in case there's anything we need to know about. For those that don't know, Channel 16 is basically, it's the Coast Guard channel. It's the emergency channel. So Channel 16 is used by the Coast Guards to say, okay, here's a notice to mariners. So there's going to be this happening and that happening, or stay out of this area because there's something going on there. It's, you know, forecasts on regular updates. And it's also a channel that you can broadcast on yourself to say, we've got an emergency. Mayday, mayday, you know, all that kind of stuff. We're singing. What are you thinking about? all of that kind of stuff, right? So Channel 16, everyone knows you keep it clear. It's an emergency channel. It's used for official purposes only. And there's plenty of other channels that you can use for idle chatter and what have you. But even then, idle chatter shouldn't be something that happens on these radios. It really is for official business, you know. Anyway, there we are on the boat. We're busy doing our stuff, swabbing the decks, cleaning up clutter, you know, and then suddenly, in the silence of us just bustling around, we hear this, Doris? Doris? Doris, are you there? And we didn't realize even at first it was the radio. We thought, is there somebody come to the boat and wondering if, you know, Doris is on board? And we're like, where's Doris? Who's Doris? And then a couple of seconds later, and now we sort of realize it's the radio that's chattering away. Hey, is that Mabel? This is Doris. Is that Mabel? Yes. And Mabel goes, yes, this is Mabel. Doris, just wondering, what are you doing for lunch today? And Doris says, well, Mabel, Bob's coming to meet me in a minute, and then we're going up to the yacht club for lunch. I think it's going to be quite busy today, so we're going to get there early. Mabel says, oh, can I join you? Roger's going to be a bit late. So if I come up with you, we can all get a table together and he can join us when he arrives. Is that okay? And Doris is saying, oh yeah, that's a good idea. No problem. And then there's a fraction of a second of silence, and you can hear when the Coast Guard comes onto the channel, he's trying to hold back his laughter. But he's trying to sound official. And he says, this is the Coast Guard. Please keep Channel 16 clear. Channel 16 should only be used for official notifications to and from the Coast Guard and for emergencies. Please use another channel for communications not related to official business. Thank you. And then there's silence for maybe 5 seconds, 10 seconds. And we're all laughing with each other at the, you know, on the boat. And then this voice comes onto the radio again. Mabel, who was that? He sounded very rude. Doris, oh my goodness. So Doris was having none of it. And then Mabel said, I know he was. Anyway, look, it's getting late and I don't want us to have a problem getting a table. So let's meet outside the yacht club in 5-10 minutes, okay? I'll be there waiting for you. All right then, see you there. Bye. It's just one example, or two examples effectively, of the archetypal WAFI. These, you know, people with absolutely no literacy in life at sea. So we also had look, it's not only the casual seafarer that knows nothing about going to sea. I'm not going to just pick on people like that. There's also commercial sailors that do crazy things as well, like proper professional seafaring people. And we had one guy, he was actually pretty good. He was an AB, an able-bodied seaman, which meant that he supported the bridge crew. In this case, we just had a day skipper on the small boat, with things like line management, you know, ropes, tying off the boat, keeping things clean, making sure the rigging was stowed away properly, helping and assisting on watch and all the other stuff that's required that an AB will do to assist. Because basically, you know, somebody should stay in control of the boat at all times, which means they need an extra pair of hands or two to go and do all of the other stuff that needs to be done, even on a small vessel. So we had this guy. I'm going to call him Barry. I'm not going to use his real name. Let's just say he's called Barry, right? And Barry was actually, when he was on the boat, he was great. He was very helpful, very friendly. Absolutely not a problem at all. But as soon as his feet touched land, this man was a walking liability. He had absolutely, oh, just unbelievable. So this, Barry said, you know, I like karaoke. I'm going to go do karaoke tonight. And we're like, Barry doing karaoke? That's something to be seen, isn't it? And there was this karaoke bar tucked up at the back of Ramsgate somewhere. I can't remember where it was now. And it, the cacophony that would come out of this place. And we did go there. We had a drink. We heard Barry sing. And it wasn't too bad, but it was still fun to watch one of our shipmates make a fool of themselves a bit, in a good-natured way. But because we were running in and out of port on a 12-hour vessel, and what would happen is the vessel would go out 0600 to 1800, so 6 in the morning to 6 in the evening. It would come back in, and then there would be a handover to a new crew, and everybody would get off, and the new crew would get on, would tell them what we'd done and what we're up to and what we need to do to continue. And then they would go off and take the boat, and we would be on land for 12 hours to get some sleep, get some food, get some rest, all that stuff. And we did that on and off for a year and a half, I think it was. So anyway, that meant that we had accommodation in the town, in these different apartments, left, right, and center. And they're all scattered around in different places because, you know, it was a tourist town, and we were renting right through the height of the summer season, which is, you know, difficult to find appropriate accommodation for everybody. So we had like these guest houses with like two or three bedrooms. I think we had about 10 or 15 people in town. So we had four or five apartments scattered around the center of Ramsgate. And one of them we had, again, I'm just using a random name, a guy called Dave, who's the day skipper. So he was working with Barry. So Barry was the AB, Dave was the day skipper, and they didn't know each other, but they were working together, and they were sharing the same apartment because they would go down and join the boat together each day. So that was the cycle, that was the rotation they were doing. So Dave came up to me, because I was in charge of all of the stuff to do with it. I was the party chief, and I was the company person representing the interests of the company and making sure that everything ran smoothly. And part of that, although it shouldn't have been, was making sure that everything was okay for all the crew in all of the apartments. This happened to fall to me because there was no one else to do it. So anyway, Dave came up to me after a couple of days sharing this apartment with Barry. And he says, I can't share with Barry. He's very weird. Barry's an odd fish. And I said, well, Dave, come on, you've got to give me more than that. I can't just, you know, move people around. We've got a premium on beds and accommodation. It's tough to handle anything like this at the moment. It's literally the height of the summer season. And Dave goes, yeah, I know, but honestly, Barry is weird. I said, look, you've only been working together for a couple of days. He seems great on the boat. So, you know, he's handling everything you've asked him to. He's doing a good job on the boat, isn't he? And Dave's like, yeah, he's as an AB, he's actually quite good. I'm quite surprised. I said, okay, well, look, give it a day or two, settle down, and then unless you've got something that's really critical, just let's see how it goes, right? You know what sailors are like. He goes, okay, all right, don't worry. I'll give it a day or two. And so the next day we're heading out, and I thought, okay, I'll keep an eye on Barry just to see how bad he is, and if I can see any indication of, I don't know what's going on here. I don't know if it's the day skipper's really precious and is just not good at sharing with other people, or I don't know if it's Barry is a bit odd. So we're going to keep an eye on both of them today, and I'll talk to them a bit and see, you know, get to know them. So anyway, we're transiting. It takes about an hour after we slip lines, you know, we leave the dock and we head out of the harbour. It takes about an hour to get around the coast up to the work site to start our operations. And during the transit, you know, there's not much to do except for Dave, who is, you know, driving us there, effectively, our taxi driver. I laugh at that because it's always been a standing joke that, you know, the captain of the vessel, the day skipper, whatever it is, doesn't matter whether it's a 10-meter survey vessel or a 400-meter pipelay monster, I still refer to the captains as taxi drivers. They love it. Of course they don't. But anyway, I thought, okay, I'll use the transit time to have a chat with Barry. So I went to Barry and said, so Barry, you had fun at the karaoke the other night? And he goes, yeah, it was really good. I like karaoke. I love music, he says. So, okay. He said, yeah, so I went to see, I can't remember who it was. It was like a major band. It was like Queen or something. I went to see Queen in concert at Wembley Stadium in London, which is a major venue for big rock, you know, big music acts, rock bands. People like the Rolling Stones, Queen, that, you know, that's the sort of venue that they would play at. Thousands and thousands of seats type of place. He said, yeah, I went to see Queen at Wembley last year. It was really good. He said, but I had a bit of a problem. I said, okay, Barry, what problem did you have when you went there? He said, well, I rented a car to drive down there because I don't have a car by myself, you know, so I've got a license, so I can drive, but I just, you know, it's not worth me having a car because I spend so many days on ships and stuff. So I got a rental car and I drove down to North London and I parked the car and I went to the concert and it was really good. I had a really good time. But when I came out of the concert at the end, I couldn't find the car. I didn't know where I parked it. And I don't know London that well. So I thought, oh, well, I'll just get a train home. So Barry just leaves the rental car, parks some random place in North London, and literally gets a train home. And forgets about it. Doesn't say anything, doesn't tell a rental company nothing. And then he gets a call. He starts to get phone calls, letters, all kinds of stuff. Where's our car? And he says, well, it's in London, isn't it? Barry, are you telling me, Barry, that you left a car parked randomly in some point in London and you didn't know where it was and you just said to the rental company, it was in London, isn't it? Like they wouldn't find it. And this was, I think before anything like tracking existed on vehicles, you know. I can't remember how long it was, but I remember how much money he ended up with a rental bill of £6,000. That's about $7,000 or $8,000. For renting a car for one day. I think they eventually found the car. It probably got, towed, and there were all kinds of fees, like the towing fee and the storage fee and all of that kind of stuff. So there was the rental fees and then there was the other charges as well. And I said to Barry, did you pay it? He goes, well, yeah, of course I had to, didn't I? And this is the thing about Barry, is that he has a heart of gold. I mean, he was well-meaning. He was just completely inept on land. As I said, as an AB guy, was fantastic. So after that, I'm like, okay, so there's something a bit odd about Barry, and I'm going to have to take Dave's situation a bit more seriously. So anyway, we finished our day of work and I had a quiet word with Dave and I said, look, Dave, I had a chat with Barry in the transit. And I definitely think there's something a bit odd about him. But look, just let me know how it goes tonight. We'll have a chat in the morning and see what we're going to do. And Dave's like, all right. He said, I'm not happy about this, but at least you're listening to me. I'm like, yeah, I am. And I'm taking it seriously. But I don't really have anything to go on right now. And it's hard to find people at the moment, height of the season. So he's a good AB. Let's see if we can make it work. So I go off and have dinner when we get back to land. And I fall into bed. The next morning, Dave gets hold of me. And he's like, come here, look at this. And I'm like, what? And this was just literally the time that phones had just started to have the capability to record video. So, it's about 13, 14, maybe 15 years ago, around that time frame, and phones had just started to have that capacity and to be widely distributed. So Dave pulls out his phone and he says, look at this video. And I'm looking at it. And you can see that there's a closed door on the screen in the video. And then the door opens a bit and you can see he's pushed the phone out past the door. And then Barry is there in the other room, like the main living room of this apartment. And then Barry is screaming, absolutely screaming at the top of his voice, at nothing in particular, but he's facing the wall and he's screaming at the wall. I told you, I'm never going to do this again. You've got no idea what it's like to be me. All of this kind of stuff, right? Perry was just losing it. And then he started punching the wall. And then he headbutted the wall. And then he started walking backwards and forwards. And I'm like, oh my God. Oh no. I said, Dave, don't worry. I'll handle this. So, yeah, you can't live like that. That's a risk to you. It's a liability. And we can't have somebody like this on the project. That's weird. That's serious. So I go over to Barry, who's standing at the quayside. He's just arrived after I've seen this. He doesn't know I've seen this video. And Dave had told me that he'd literally slammed his door shut and propped a chair underneath the handle and tried to make a barricade so, like, Barry couldn't get in. And then, yeah, I go up to Barry, who's there, ready, in his offshore gear, life jacket, all that stuff. Like, hello, how are you this morning, Barry? Feeling okay? And Barry's like, yeah, all right, nice to see you. Yeah, I slept really well, feel really good, looking forward to a nice day of work. Like, okay. Well, look, Barry, we've had a mistake with crewing. We've actually got too many people. And I know you've only just started, but there's, you know, we need to find a way to get the numbers back under control. Would you mind if we just sort of paid you off for the day and just made sure you got home safely? Is that all right? And Barry's like, yeah, it's all right, no problem. Yeah. Do you want me to go and pack my bags now? I'm like, yeah, that would be nice, Barry. I'll come up with you. We'll get a taxi together. I'll come up with you. And I'll make sure you're safely on the train, okay? He's like, all right, yeah, that's nice of you. Thank you very much. Yeah. So we get a taxi up, and I call up the office before waiting for the taxi away from Barry. I call the office and say, we've got a major issue. We've got one of our ABs is just, like, pure psychotic. And I feel bad for the guy, because he's quite a nice guy, and he works well, but this guy's a liability. I'm handling it now, so we're going to be delayed for an hour or two going out this morning, and we're going to be short-staffed. And, so I get the taxi up to this place. I drop Barry off at the train station. I head straight back to the port, get on the boat. And Dave was like, oh, thank you so much. I couldn't do another night of that. I was going to walk away today unless you got rid of him. I'm like, no, don't worry, Dave. Thank you for showing me the video. I had no idea it was that bad. It was so good that you showed it to me. So, of course, you know, we're down a man, and it required a lot of extra effort from us to make sure we were operating safely, but we got through the day. The office had, you know, phoned around and managed to get hold of a replacement, so that guy was going to join us that evening. And we got back to port, and of course then, after working that 12-hour shift and handling that stuff this morning, I'm like, okay, I need to go and clean up Barry's mess that he left in his bedroom and change out his linen, because of course there's no one else to do it. So I go up to this apartment where Dave is, and I'm like, okay, Dave, let's sort this out, and then we'll go for dinner afterwards, because I'm running out of energy already, to be honest. Get to the apartment, open up the door to Barry's bedroom, and it's carnage in there. I mean, there's nothing left. You know, he hadn't left any baggage, but, you know, the bed sheets were not very clean, let's put it that way. And stuff was just, like, litter everywhere, fast food wrappers and all kinds of junk and whatever. And so I'm cleaning all of this up. And underneath the bed, there's clutter everywhere. I'm sweeping it into a bin bag. And I'm just trying to get through this. I throw the bed sheets and pillowcases into the washing machine. And there's clean linen, so I just make the bed for this new guy that's arriving. Nothing worse than arriving at a new job and having to exist in clutter and dirt and grime and mess from the previous sailor. So not going to let that happen to the guy. But underneath the bed, there's these hypodermic needles. And, yeah, Barry had been injecting stuff and leaving these dirty syringes and needles around in his bedroom. It was absolutely terrible. So, that's the story of Barry and Dave. And I could carry on. I've got hundreds of these stories. So that's the first example of offshore banter. And if you have been listening to this and you find this kind of content interesting, send me your stories. If you're offshore, if you're a seafarer, a mariner of any kind at all, and you've got stories like this, send them to me. I'm really happy to engage with our community, build it up, and just share some of this stuff, this monstrous, crazy things that happen to us as we go offshore and live the offshore life. Well, thank you very much for spending some time with me. Lots of love to everyone. If you are at sea right now, stay safe. Look after yourself and get home safely and have a good watch. Lots of love to everyone. Bye-bye. It's Kim saying bye for now.